For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of the show, which is why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you're getting the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, military veterans, and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT and get free activation when you use offer code Dana. Join me and make the switch today. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
Yeah, and it's important to understand the law. My background is in whistleblower protection. President Biden actually nominated me to the Merit Systems Protection Board because of that expertise, and I was confirmed by the Senate. And so it's important to understand that you don't have to go to Congress to be a whistleblower or to have made protected disclosures. Special Agent Shapley made disclosures that are protected by the whistleblower law throughout his time working on this case. And interviews by Congress with his second-level supervisor, Michael Baddorf, confirmed that just in the last week. They were aware of this. There actually was not a lot of pushback within his agency. The IRS supervision supervisors either supported him in what he was doing, or those that didn't like it really backed away from the case and weren't involved. It wasn't until he disclosed his concerns to U.S. Attorney David Weiss that there began to be problems for him. And that's when Weiss began retaliating against him. And that's what set him on this path of deciding to come forward, both the retaliation and the knowledge that, you know, as Weiss disclosed, Biden-appointed U.S. attorneys were blocking charges from being brought against Hunter Biden.
So the balls on this dude. Yeah. Let's just start with that, because he's indicted on the gun charges. He had three counts on that. There might be some potential tax charges out there, not related to the stuff that we talked about, as you know, with China, but there might still be some of those out there. And then now he's got he's suing the IRS, Hunter Biden, claiming that agents targeted, and this is a quote, targeted and sought to embarrass him because of the stuff that came out of his, you know, all of the, you know, I mean, everything. Welcome to the show. Happy Monday. Dana Lash with you. We're going to start off with those. It's a day that ends in Y. And I really think that this, I mean, it's pretty brassy, I got to say. They said that the whistle, these are, I mean, really it goes after those IRS whistleblowers. It's Gary Shapley and Joseph Zeigler. Those were the ones who came forward to Congress to explain that they saw a slow walk of the case, that they saw the problems with the case, and that all of this, I mean, this is, you know, the whole point of it was they were trying to slow walk everything, whether it was to run out the clock for the statute of limitations. I mean, clearly there were shenanigans involved. And now this suit, which, I mean, they're arguing that all of the, you know, the disclosures were wrongful conduct and they were not permitted, and that the IRS unlawfully disclosed his confidential tax information, and he wants $1,000 for each of the unauthorized disclosures, and his rights were violated, and that, by the way, the complaint also says, quote, yet the IRS and its agents have conducted themselves under a presumption that the rights that apply to every other American citizen do not apply to Mr. Biden. And then the thing is, though, I don't know how he's sitting here complaining about this, that he's suffering, because nothing, literally nothing has come of all of this stuff yet. There's no charges there yet. And he's suing his own father's administration and the IRS. I mean, I don't think it's really hard to argue that you care about privacy when you literally leave your laptop, Kane. You know, you remember when you left your iPad?
I do.
See, I'm just saying, I got to always go back to that because it was the funniest thing ever. I'm never going to let that go. I'm sorry. It's just too funny. But I mean, it's, but see, Canon, like you, it was just your iPad and you didn't have like all your personal secret stuff on there.
No,
I mean, that we
goodness.
Know of.
No.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you only left one thing. You got it back and you went to great lengths to get it back. Whereas he never did. And he left not one, but two DOS laptops. DOS laptops he left. And he never actually moved heaven and earth to get them back. And that's kind of, you know, the downside of doing that stuff is that people may find it and be like, oh, wow, here's this. I'm just saying. So it's, I mean, this is their, they got to do whatever they can do because the plea deal's gone. And the whistleblowers have already testified. Whatever they've said is not going to change. But, you know, maybe we should just, you know, how, maybe we, there's some fun hot takes to get out of here. Like, how bad is the IRS? Bad enough that Hunter Biden's suing it. Or maybe Republicans should, Tom Elliott over at Grabian was like, maybe Republicans should offer an olive branch. And let's, you know, let's just defund and just abolish the IRS. You know, I mean, look what they're doing to Hunter. It's crazy. Look what they're doing to little baby infant baby Hunter. I just, little baby boy over there. I mean, it's just, whew. So I'm all for like going, just go ahead and go and just undo the IRS. Let's go ahead and do that. All right. So some of the other stuff that we have that we're going to get into here, if you, because I got to come back to this. We lost an $80 million stealth jet. I mean, who doesn't from time to time? Have we found it yet?
No,
we haven't found it yet. Oh, you guys didn't know that? You guys listened? Yeah. So this was trending last night. Joint Base Charleston says that they were working to locate an F-35 that was involved in just a mishap this afternoon. They said the pilot ejected safely. If you have any information, you know, that could help our recovery teams locate the F-35, please call Base Defense Operations Center. They lost a damn stealth jet. The pilot ejected safely. The jet's gone. Did it? I'm assuming it crashed somewhere. Wouldn't you know? Ah, but it's stealthy. What are you? Why are you all looking like that over there? Kane's like, I have a theory. He's got his I have a theory face.
Look,
as he
Charleston's
wraps himself
right on
in tinfoil.
Charleston's right on the coast. So, I mean, think about this. He ejected somewhere in North Charleston, according to the story. And they're calling it a mishap. Now, was the mishap him, like, getting ejected when he didn't want to be ejected? And if that's the case, and it was an autopilot, that thing could fly all the way into the ocean, over the ocean, and eventually go down in the ocean, and no one would know better, I guess, at that point.
I mean, how do you lose a...
Gosh, just like that, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, but trust everybody when they say they're sending our money to Ukraine. They can't keep track of an F-35, an $80 million stealth jet. An $80 million stealth jet. I love how they just put this tweet out. We're working with the Marine Corps Air Station in Beaufort to locate an F-35 that was involved in a mishap this afternoon. The pilot ejected safely. If you have any information that may help our recovery teams locate the F-35, please call Base Defense Operations Center. Like, it's just a little thing. Just a little bitty thing. It's just someone lost something. Can you guys just call this number if you find it? I don't know. I feel like if I came across an F-35, that's mine. Finders keepers, right? That's the rule. I mean, I have no idea where I, you know, I don't know. I guess I could like Google YouTube, you know, tutorial how to fly the damn thing, couldn't I? I mean, my gosh, they got tutorials for everything out there now. I'm just, you know, pretty sure I could find it. Pretty sure I could find something. But yeah, findies keepies, finders keepers. That's how that works. They said that they were looking around JB Charleston and Lake Marion. So we'll see how that goes. I'm real sure. Yeah. So this, a couple of others, this is just some of the latest stuff that happened. The Senate is no longer going to enforce a dress code for senators. It still is the official rule to look respectable, but because John Fetterman couldn't put his pants on if his life depended on it, he gets to wear basically cargo shorts. Are we doing flip-flop Fridays? How are we doing that? Are we doing flip-flops? Can they wear Crocs? I mean, seriously, where does it end? They're... Where does it end? So he gets to just dress like a bum to go into the Senate. So they actually changed that and made that a thing. That's the new rule right now. We got more on that. Biden's going to be speaking at the United Nations. All right. So if you get the newsletter, did you all get the newsletter? Did you get it last night? Because I sent some stuff out. As you know, I had a family weekend at my son's college. That's where we were. And, you know, I go out for one day and all hell breaks loose. Everybody starts, you know, getting felt up in theaters and screwing people that ain't their husbands. I mean, what in the world is going on? Keep it in yo' pants. So I had some observations yesterday, if you saw it. So where do we start? Where do we want to start at? So I'm sure everybody saw the Lauren Boebert video at this point. Now, some people are asking, why is there a night vision camera in the theater? Okay, that's not the question you should ask, conservatives. The question I'm asking is, why the hell don't you expect night vision cameras in theaters that a conservative may walk into? Aha, that's the question you should be asking. All right, so everyone saw the video at this point, okay? I said over the weekend, I said, you're supposed to get angrier over Lauren Boebert than the chick with the ChatterBait account so Democrats can cancel out that controversy in Virginia and pick up two seats. So so we have this situation with, that's Susanna Gibson, the Virginia candidate for the House, who apparently didn't think to maybe not publicly stream her and her husband's marital sessions for money. Now, carefully note, at no time in the Boebert thing, at no time did I say that one could not pass judgment or hold wildly misbehaving politicians accountable for violating good sense and values that serve as the foundation of our ideology. I never said that at any point. I have more on this because there's a lot to this. If you are subscribers, you got that already. So we're going to dive into this here coming up after headlines. Does it seem like every time you turn around or open up your wallet, you're shocked at the changes that have directly impacted your life in just 2.5 years? There's something that you can do to protect the value of your hard-earned savings and retirement accounts. Contact the folks at American Hartford Gold and talk to them about your options in diversifying your assets. Empower yourself with opportunity. Hold on to the fruits of your hard work and protect your future. So do what I did and call the only precious metal dealers I trust, American Hartford Gold. Diversify your portfolio with physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside of your IRA or 401k. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I'm going to touch on this later, but I have to hit this right now because it couldn't have happened to a nicer person. Rolling Stone founder Ian Winner was fired by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because he said that black and female musicians like Stevie Wonder and Joni Mitchell are not as articulate like white stars such as Bruce Springsteen and Mick Jagger. I hate Ian Winner. One of the reasons that actual rock and roll artists haven't been able to get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is because Ian Winner is a giant douche. Yeah. That's really what it is. So couldn't have happened to a nicer person. Kane and I are both in agreement on this. Officials say that 5 prisoners sought by the U.S. in the swap with Iran have flown out of Tehran. All of the talk that you hear about this, because we've had like $6 billion in Iranian assets were unfrozen. I was listening to, not John Kirby. But yes, thank you, Antony Blinken, a little bit earlier today. He was saying that they weren't doing anything. They weren't undoing sanctions, except that's literally what they were doing, because the freezing of the $6 billion in Iranian assets was literally part of the sanctions against Iran for their terrorist activity. And so that's absolutely rolling back those sanctions. They said this planned exchange unfolded amid a major military buildup in the Persian Gulf, with the possibility of troops boarding and guarding commercial ships in the Strait of Hormuz, through which 20% of all oil shipments pass. They said that 5 innocent Americans who were imprisoned in Iran are finally coming home. And they said that this now, of course, you got all those billions now that are going to be unfrozen. So, yeah. Valerie Jarrett's celebrating somewhere. Let's see. UAW is going on strike. They went on strike after a contract talks failed. They had months to agree on a new contract. It didn't happen. So United Auto Workers are officially on strike against Ford, GM, Stellantis, and formerly Chrysler in an unprecedented labor strike that could cost billions of dollars in lost economic activity. The big three wanted to use record profits to roll out new EVs, which the administration has been cheering on, saying that these new concepts carried heavy production costs. They wanted a significant pay raise, a 40% increase over 4 years. During negotiations, they walked it back to mid-30s, and now it seems like it actually jumped almost 50%, though. So they wanted a 46% pay raise, 32-hour work weeks with 40-hour pay, restoration of traditional pensions, and they wanted a whole bunch of stuff. They said it was way more expensive to do EVs, and you know what? They're not wrong. It is way more expensive to do EVs. So this is what you get, Biden. This is what Biden's Green New Energy deal is going to, and everyone who doesn't know, people who know absolutely nada about all of this, they think it was just going to be kittens and sunshine. It's super easy. Oh, hell no. You're going to hurt. You will hurt. Also, the plane took off without a single checked bag on board. They did have the passengers, though. So this was Swiss International Airlines. They took off from Zurich this past weekend. All the passengers without a single checked suitcase on board because they had no ground. They had a huge lack in ground staff. So they had an initial delay and they took off. They said they would be able to make a return flight to Zurich before the nighttime flight ban kicked in. They said that they were going to try to deliver most of the luggage the next day. Wow. Japan Airlines, they started a year-long trial of a service that lets you rent a set of clothes and get it at your hotel on arrival if your you know, your bags go out without you. So can you imagine, though? I bet those people were none too happy. And in eastern Pennsylvania, fugitive pet alligators, according to the Wall Street Journal, are invading. Multiple sightings along a four-mile stretch of this river I cannot pronounce because there's a lot of consonants in it. Raise alarms as winter looms. They said, we just want them caught. We are running out of time. They said that people were asking if they were missing their pet alligators. All right, so coming up, we got an issue we got to discuss with keep it in your pants, Republicans. We'll talk about that and more coming up. You've heard me rave about the Kel-Tec KSG shotgun for a long time, and the fact is, I cannot say enough good things about it. I mean, the KSG is the one that started it all, made ordinary shotguns obsolete, and still reigns supreme. But the big reason I keep raving about it is I'm also the proud owner of one, at least. And trust me, I really put the KSG to the test before adding it to my collection. It's perfect for home defense or tactical situations. And this 12 gauge is a reliable go-to that's easy to handle for everyone. The KSG shotgun is the first 12 gauge pump action shotgun chambered for 3-inch shells and with dual tube magazines, offers a capacity of 12+1. Its downward shell ejection makes the KSG truly ambidextrous and ejects shells away from your face. It's compact, lightweight, and easy to maneuver and control. Learn more about the KSG shotgun at KeltecWeapons.com and follow Kel-Tec on social media. Visit KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this first hour. So if you get the email newsletter, then you got a heads up about some of this stuff. So, I mean, how do you even talk about this? How do you talk about a problem like this? So first up, we got four things that we got to discuss with regards to the Republican Party, right? So over the weekend, this story came out. It was about Congresswoman Lauren Boebert, who had been, this is a story that's like been 2 weeks in the making. The story first came out that she was ejected from a theater in Denver. It was a musical performance of Beetlejuice. She was ejected from the theater one evening a couple of weeks ago. The way that it came out was she had used flash photography and was vaping. And then she shouted at a security guard and she gave another the middle finger. And she was like, do you know who I am? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, now there's more that is coming up. First off, theater is annoying enough without you having to like add the vaping and the flash photography and, you know, some of the other stuff that we see. Right. I mean, it's already annoying enough. Like, for people like me who don't want to go see musicals, you sure as hell are not enticing me to go and see one, Beetlejuice or not. I mean, for the love. So now it came out that she was with her Democrat boyfriend, Quinn Gallagher. And how do I say this? Yeah, he was going to second and third base. Both of them were. He got a handy in the theater, and she basically was halfway top off. All on camera. And, I mean, I just don't know. Do you know how awkward it is to talk about people that you know like this? This is weird. This is why I don't like being friends with politicians. Because eventually, at some point, I have to talk about the stuff that they do. This is one of the reasons why I'm a hobbit. And I don't like to go to parties. I don't like to go to events. I literally will dig myself into a hole and not come out because of stuff like this. So as it turns out, she really was ejected, I think, for a little bit more than vaping and something and some of this other stuff. I mean, the footage is pretty bad. There's a lot of touchy-feely, rubby stuff that's out that shouldn't be. In a theater. And I don't know if it was all ages. I don't know if there were kids in there or not. I don't know. I mean, it's Beetlejuice, so it's like a family-friendly film anyway. And I would imagine that it's an all ages, you know, it's not like, you know, a Rocky Horror Picture Show. It's Beetlejuice. So she had issued a statement. She said there's no perfect blueprint for going through a public difficult divorce. She said she was sorry. You know, the past few days have been difficult and humbling. Blah, 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 blah. It is, I mean, it's not a good thing. I mean, he's like rubbing her chest. She's got a hand in the crotch. I mean, it's just bad. It is bad, bad, bad. And it's also bad how she handled it after she was ejected from the theater. So this is the other thing. And this is what I mentioned. I said this over the weekend, quote, "You're supposed to be angrier over Boebert than the chick with the Chatterbait account in Virginia, so Democrats can cancel out that controversy in Virginia and pick up two seats. Because that Susanna Gibson lady, she's the Virginia candidate for the House who didn't think to maybe not publicly stream her and her husband's marital sessions for money. She, I guess, thought that she could still do that and run for office and no one would find it. And when people found it, she raised a fit and said that her privacy was being violated because people pointed out that she had publicly posted videos on the internet where people can watch them and people watch them. So she said that people watching her videos that she publicly posted on the internet for people to watch were an invasion of her privacy. Okay. Now, I didn't say you couldn't pass judgment. I never said that you couldn't hold wildly misbehaving politicians responsible for violating good sense and values that are the foundation of our ideology. I never said you couldn't do that. I just said the obvious about Democrats' motives. This is the party that had no problem lionizing a guy who literally drove a woman into a pond to die, but that's all water under the bridge for them. I mean, it is also the party that had no problem with the 42nd president of the United States using the Oval Office as his own little champagne room for his favorite intern. Close, but no cigar. So they have no issue with adopting or skewing any values as needed to attract voters, because you can't shame people for violating deeply held beliefs if they don't have anything to deeply hold. So this is what's happening. They're acting outraged on behalf of Republicans whenever Republican lawmakers violate our deeply held beliefs, because it's a tactic to shame you into acting consistently because it benefits them. Now, I know that sounds weird, but please note, this is literally the only time that the left wants you to act according to your values. This is the only time that they are cheering you on to act according to your values. Now, as I said, I'm not telling you not to hold anybody accountable. I'm just telling you what Democrats are doing. Now, I also think it's consistent to win. And this is why I ticked all the left off when I made my remarks about Herschel Walker. Remember that whole thing? You had Raphael Warnock, a senator who literally co-sponsored an abortion bill that wanted late-term abortion, basically abortion on demand up till the moment of birth, financed by the taxpayer. Don't tell me that that's not what he wanted, because that was literally the language of the bill that I read and linked to you in a newsletter that I sent out to all subscribers. And it had 30-something other odd Democrats that were on to it. Herschel Walker was like, yeah, I had this in the past. I don't believe in it now. That was a vote to not have taxpayer-funded abortion. So I refused to play the left's game, and they went apoplectic over it. Because at least, you know, I'm being honest about wanting to keep the seat. Privately, I think that a politician's inner circle and donors should rake them over the coals when they do wrong. I got a lot of friends in Colorado. A lot. And I'm hearing from a lot of people that I have known for a very long time that this is happening now. I am hearing a lot from grassroots organizers that I have known, and some I've even been on the ground with before, and a lot of donors who are actively mulling over a primary challenger for Boebert. And it's not just for this alone. These are problems that have been building for a long time. One of the biggest complaints that I have heard from people is that she does not campaign enough back home. I hear that over and over. Meanwhile, the guy who's going up against her is doing almost nothing but that. Her district, this is what you need to understand, is more moderate than it is conservative. And the Republican in office before her was a moderate. And then before that, it was a Democrat. It was that Salazar dude who was talking about wanting to ban women from carrying on campus. So her seat was never entirely a safe seat, like a safe district. It requires maintenance. I think her biggest issue in the video is her entire lack of self-awareness when in a public space and for lashing out at theater staff. I mean, people, like I said, people were asking, well, why was there a night vision theater in the camera? I'm asking why the hell conservatives don't expect that there isn't, you know, you got to expect that there's night visions in a camera or night vision cameras in a theater. She does not have the goodwill to react the way she did, not in her district. She barely won re-election by 546 votes. 546 votes. Barely. She does not have the goodwill saved up to act towards, you shouldn't be acting, elected officials shouldn't be acting like that to anybody in their district, period. I think that's a lack of self-awareness that is absolutely inexcusable. She created a symphony of errors for herself. And if there is one thing, y'all know this about me, if there is one thing that I cannot stand, it is politicians who make unforced errors and as a consequence, they become liabilities for the voters that they are supposed to represent. Now, before y'all get any ideas, like I said, I know this is someone who knows her personally. I've gone to fundraisers for her. And you've heard me say this many times. I'm not in this to make friends. I think voters deserve a return on the investment of the consent of their vote. But I think that this is the voters' choice and not Democrats' choice. It's not Nancy Pelosi's choice. It's not Joe Biden's choice. It is nobody's choice but Colorado voters. So nobody has any business on demanding that she resign. This is for Colorado voters to handle. And if she wants to keep her seat, she needs to keep, you know, a respectable behavior about her and not be lashing out at people and not be doing this kind of stuff publicly, where you're flipping people off on camera. I mean, we can sit here and talk all day about what you can and can't do, you know, in a theater. I also think that you need to be aware of how you're behaving, especially when you barely kept your seat. She's like, do you know who I am? Well, barely, because 546 people, that is the margin of victory you had in your district. That is not enough to have an ego. Now, on Kristi Noem. Story came out, and I don't think anybody's denied anything yet, that the married South Dakota governor and one of the advisors in the Trump campaign, Corey Lewandowski, they're accused of having a years-long affair. A lot of stuff about it. Now, I'll tell you this. A few years ago, I was at the Trump Doral in Miami, and I was attending a Republican conference. This was a few years ago. I think maybe it was in 2019. To speak on gun rights. And at dinner that evening, we were in the hotel's restaurant. And there's like this circular bar. And then there's like a couple of different levels. Where everything's open, but there's a couple different levels. And then there's a private room after you go through one of the doors past some tables. And my husband and I were having dinner with two friends of ours, Ryan Petty and Andy Pollack, both of whom became very tragically known through losing their daughters in Parkland. And during the meal, there were various attendees that had arrived, Donald Trump Jr., Sarah Huckabee Sanders. You know, we had we greeted them, we said hello, and they sat at their respective tables near us, you know, after we said hi and all that stuff. So later on, Corey Lewandowski arrived with the South Dakota governor. And it was just that they arrived with each other and there wasn't a group with them. And it was weird to me at the time because I didn't know that they knew each other. And they seemed very familiar with each other. They went to a table in an empty room of that empty room of the restaurant. You have to like walk past our table to get there. And I didn't see anybody else walk into the room in which they dined. Later on, some people walked in to say hello, but I think it was just the two of them having dinner by themselves. And like I said, I thought it was odd because I didn't know that they knew each other. And I'm always super hyper aware of how the press loves to play guessing games with the love lives of politicians. Because, and unfortunately, it comes with the territory in politics. It's one of the reasons why I travel with my husband to shut people up. I've had Democrats and even some Republicans who have tried to do this to me six ways to Sunday, and they've never been able to do it successfully because for over a decade, actually, since I've been in politics, I was like, you know, just to play it safe because I know how people are. I know how the left is. I heard rumors about this first from people who worked in the Trump campaign. I've heard from Trump campaign insiders, people who weren't inside the Trump campaign. I mean, everybody has speculated about this. So my question is, who leaked or pushed this to the press? And my initial thought is that it is someone who is in the VP competition to be Trump's VP, and they look at Noam as a threat. Is it Byron Donalds? Like, who is it? I don't even think it'd be Donalds, because I have also heard from people that he wants to be the next governor of Florida. So I don't know. It's just odd that it came out now after everybody, I mean, this has been years that people have been speculating about this. I will say that when I saw Sarah Huckabee Sanders enter, she had like two aides with her. I've never seen that woman not travel with an aide. And I've just seen, that's just the nature of the business. It is just the nature of the business. So, and I think that, you know, I don't know. I know Kristi Noem has ambitions to do more things. She gave herself a makeover. She had a John and Kate plus eight hairdo. She's done a lot of, she gave herself a makeover, all kinds of stuff. And she's trying to get away from her record. She wanted to shut her state down under lockdown. Literally, the Republican legislature thwarted her. We've talked about some of this before. I don't dislike her. I'm just telling you what I saw. And it wasn't just me. It was a table full of people. So I don't know. I just thought it was that because I didn't even know that they knew each other. And I was like, well, maybe they're discussing, I don't know. Maybe they're discussing business. Maybe there's, you know, I don't know. It was just, I don't know. Just FYI. Now, coming up, we got to talk about what McCarthy has said and the Trump abortion stuff, because my pro-life activist friends are up in arms. And we got to discuss this, because now this is going to be a huge problem. It plays right into Democrats' hands. That's coming up.
Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle Ready-to-Drink Coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at Black Rifle Coffee. .com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
Catch the Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
You're going to pay somewhere between 20 and 40% less than those other countries. Same exact drug, made by the same exact company.
The hell do we do? Why are you yelling at us? Yo, why?
Where's the whisper?
Golly. Okay, if you had a cane, If you had to pick between him whispering or him screaming at you, what do you pick?
Is neither an option?
Because no, that's neither what I is pick. Not
okay,
an option.
Neither is not an option. I think the whispering is so creepy. I think I'd just take the yelling.
Yeah, but that's also crazy because it feels like he's going to just lose it and produce a hatchet and go at us any second.
The yelling is crazy. The whispering is creepy.
Like, where does that come from? There's just no escalation. It's just he's normal and then he's not. I mean, why does he get so mad? And then when he whispers,
grocery store and I park my car.
I know. He's a walking Seinfeld episode. I guess he thinks that whispering is like verbal italics, right? Like if I whisper it, like, can you believe it? I don't know. Does he? I don't know. It just is worse and worse. Guys, how is he supposed to address the UN? Is he speaking to them today? Isn't he speaking to them later? The UN?
Yeah.
The General Assembly?
Yeah.
That useless organization of douchers who sit up there in prime real estate? It's the welfare entity for the world that's paid for by the United States. I don't like them. I don't know if you can tell. That's just, I'm not a fan. But I don't know how that's going to work. And they have these simultaneous interpreters. It's sort of like the simultaneous interpreter robot software that's on Star Trek. But what do they do if he starts like going off and like wanders over? I mean, what is KJP can't flip out on the side and then come up and say, okay, that's done. No questions. And then, you know, scuttle him off. I mean, they can't do that. What are they going to do? They got to give him some of Hunter's crack. Ah, that would work, I think. Or would that just make him angrier and like still confused? I don't know. I don't know how the crack works. I'm not quite sure like how that works in regards to like barely sentient people. All right, so coming up, we got to talk about how the Republicans are their own worst enemy. And we got law and order. We have some culture for you. I have a ton of stuff today. Oh, and that jet's still missing. Stick with us. Back after this.
Mr. President, I want to give voters who are going to be weighing in on this election a very clear sense of where you stand.
I think they're all going to like me. I think both sides are going to like me. You're asking me a question. What's going to happen is you're going to come up with a number of weeks or months. You're going to come up with a number that's going to make people happy because 92% of the Democrats don't want to see abortion after a certain period of time.
If a federal ban landed on your desk, if you were reelected, would you sign it at 15?
Are you talking about a complete ban?
A ban at 15 weeks.
Well, people are starting to think of 15 weeks. That seems to be a number that people are talking about right now.
Would you sign that?
I would sit down with both sides and I'd negotiate something, and we'll end up with peace on that issue for the first time in 52 years. I'm not going to say I would or I wouldn't. I mean, DeSantis is willing to sign a five-week and six-week ban.
Would you support that?
First off, he should have rejected her question outright. Welcome to the show, first off. Dana Lash here with you. Listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio show, YouTube, Facebook, watch the simulcast, channel 347, DirecTV. I listened to this like 6 million times. Her question, she was setting him up, and he fell all over answering this. He should have answered this better. This is how he should have answered it. He should have said, well, you're asking me if lawmakers, if I serve a second term, if I'm elected and I serve a second term, you're asking me that if lawmakers, if they produced a 15-week ban and got it to my desk, would I sign it? And he would say, his answer should be, so are you disputing 15 weeks? He should have said, yes, I would sign it if lawmakers gave that to me and put it on my desk. And then he should have circled back and said, the bigger question is, why would Democrats go against Americans? He doesn't need to like, he's like, it feels like mentally he's searching around for anything he can use as a distraction. He tried to pick up DeSantis to use that as a shield against having to answer this question. He's like verbally, you know, shuffling around, trying to find a way to get out of this. His answer should have been, yeah, I would have signed it, number one. And number two, 15 weeks is where the majority of Americans, including Democrats surveyed, that is where they fall on this issue. So in doing this, I am simply serving the requests of the majority of Americans, which includes both Democrats and Republicans in numerous surveys. And I think that's a pretty bipartisan thing to do. Don't you agree? That's rhetorically shivving her. That's how he should have answered this question. That shocked me. I was shocked. I know everyone's focusing on, oh, well, he slammed DeSantis with this. And can we just stop for a minute with the primary stuff? Get that aside. The way he answered that question was like Biden levels of mess. I don't care if you love him or not. Be honest. Do you want him to win? If you want your guy to win, then you want them to answer questions to the best of their ability. That ain't it. I mean, she was trying to set him up for a fail, and that should have been a softball for him. How in the hell are you the president whose Supreme Court actually ends Roe v. Wade, and you can't answer that question? You're not helping the optic of this is my legacy. In fact, he should be embracing this, and he's running from it. I don't understand this. He should be embracing that legacy, and he is not. But this is what Democrats are trying to do, and this is how he helped them. They are so desperately trying to use the abortion boogeyman as a get-out-the-vote apparatus for 2024, because heaven knows their policies by themselves aren't doing it. Their policies aren't doing it. They campaigned so hard to make 2022, the midterms, a referendum on abortion after Roe v. Wade. And you remember Lindsey Graham right after that happened. And that was when he introduced this federal ban proposal. And it totally conflicted. Republicans were doing really, really well pushing on the economy. And it stunted all Republican messaging on the economy because Lindsey Graham thought he was going to pull a stunt and grandstand for himself. Now, you realize that you can still be pro-life and also be a good strategist. If you are running Leroy Jenkins style out in the middle of stuff and hurting your own cause, then you're a really bad strategist. And overall, you're hurting your pro-life activism. He ended up giving them, I mean, if your goal is protect life, you don't snatch defeat from the jaws of victory after Roe by giving Democrats this fear-mongering narrative that they're going to use to reduce Republican victories. Literally the only people who are going to vote to advance the interests of life, by the way, right as people go to the polls. He played right into that. Oh my gosh. Now they're going to keep going at him on it because they found a weak spot. They're going to hit him with this every chance they get. Now, all my pro-life friends, I mean, I'm pro-life, but I mean the activist friends who that is their sole thing. All of my friends who are heavily involved in pro-life activism, that's all they do. They are apoplectic over this. They have been railing at him for the past 2 days. Now you've created a problem on the right. And, you know, I'm talking to some, I've got friends who are pro-life friends. They're like, I'm not voting for him. Now they're saying they're not. Now, again, I'm telling you this as somebody, I've told you who I like in the primary, but I want to go with the nominee in the general. But they're telling me that in the general, I'm like, okay, we're not even having this conversation right now. It was a bad answer. He did not help himself. He hurt his cause so bad just then. I've listened to this. This is now the fifth time that I've listened to the entire interview. I've listened to it 5 times. It doesn't get any better. The GOP is simultaneously criticized. There's a war within the GOP, and it's not on the position of life. It's on the position of strategy, because you have people who favor a state by state approach, and then you have people who want a national approach. And I understand the arguments of both. I think it comes down to, you know, whether constitutionally the amendments allow it. And everybody gets centered on, you know, born or naturalized, that, you know, part of the Constitution. And that's something that, you know, have the legal eagles fight all over that. I think that people are they're making themselves enemies when they don't need to. But with this, you know, his response there, you can't say yet both sides are going to like me, etc. His answer should have been, well, 15 weeks is where the average American, Democrats and Republicans, there have been numerous surveys at this point, hundreds of thousands of people surveyed. 15 weeks is the number that everyone falls on. if lawmakers deliver on that bipartisan time with that 15-week ban, I'll sign that. That's his answer. And then he could also say, isn't that what lawmakers do? Isn't that what people do through their elected representatives? They control what comes up to my desk through the people that they elect. They are trying to get his answer and use him as a fear-mongering apparatus to drive the abortion narrative again during election. And he helped them because he wasn't ready to just nix that answer. And it's not hard to answer. It's not a hard question. And then he ends up making another mess. I don't care what you think of Trump or DeSantis. I don't care who you like right now. I don't care. I don't even care. What he was defaulting to, well, where can I go to try to, I need to find a read to hold on to. And then he goes to, well, I didn't like how this governor did this. And because he wasn't careful with how he said it, now you have this soundbite where he is slamming red state governors for signing something. You know, Mike DeWine signed something. He signed an abortion ban in Ohio. I didn't hear nobody in that camp going after Mike DeWine, but I'll be damned, they're going to be buck kissing and brown nosing him because they're going to want that endorsement. Now you have this where you have a Republican contender for president who's now slamming Republican governors for signing these bans in their state, saying specifically that the signing of those bans in the state was bad because he wasn't careful with how he answered. That's the question he answered, and that's a quote he gave. As opposed to what works in one state doesn't work in all. You have to have different strategies. If you are so thirsty to take every option that is handed to you as a way to try to get a political jab in at an opponent, at some point you're going to be taking poison. You got to stop. He should have been prepared for that. Again, that is the president who was in office with the Dobbs case that undid Roe v. Wade. If he wants to make that could be part of his legacy. He shouldn't be running from it. He was the president in office when that happened. He should not stumble on these questions. I cannot stand, as I said, unforced errors. I cannot stand them. And his staff should be freaking out over this answer and making sure he never, ever stumbles like this when answering a type of question like this again. You can't use the excuse that he's not a politician anymore. Because now everybody on the right is fighting. I mean, they are at each other's throats now. And Democrats are rubbing their hands. They are gleeful because guess what? They just got some ammo. That's another ad. That's an ad. And they'll use it to go after Republicans and to incite more division within the GOP. 2024 is it, guys. The question you should be asking yourself is, who do you want to be replacing Clarence Thomas when he retires? Do you want it to be Democrats or do you want it to be Republicans? That's the only question that matters. Everything else is noise. Oh, I can't stand unforced errors. All right, let's look at some of this. I'm not even going to touch on the CR stuff because I'm already mad. So let me scooch on to some other things. Can we, real quick, we're going to talk about this coming up. They're going after Russell Brand. It's like people just found out who Russell Brand is. So they're going after Russell Brand because what? He has admitted that he is a male skank. He's a skank. That was like part of his persona. He was like a slutty Dudley Moore. I don't know. Wasn't he? That's like his whole persona. And they're acting as though he's like tried to hide it or look at this problematic stuff. It's interesting how right after he started going after Big Pharma, this popped up. Really? I mean, it's very interesting that right after he started talking about Big Pharma, that came up. And so now they're trying to cancel him, which I think is ridiculous. There's like allegations. So now would his management company dropped him just because of allegations? I don't care where you stand on Russell Brand. The fact that you can be dropped or canceled simply because of an allegation is something that should terrify you. I'm going to tell you something. You got a whole bunch of women out there and that are, and if they're trying to revive Me Too, this is Big Pharma playing women. I'm so tired of this stuff. Russell Brand is he's always had a persona. He starts going after Big Pharma and now they want to come and cancel him. And if women go along with this, y'all are stupid. Y'all are getting played. People are getting angrier over Russell Brand than they are over the fact that dudes are trying to erase women's sports and trying to sideline women to just being a footnote in the history of humanity. It's despicable. We got that and more coming up.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So a Scottsdale woman brought in her Tesla for repairs, and when she got it back, her key system no longer worked and she couldn't get Tesla to fix it. She says that she couldn't drive it because they replaced the battery under warranty, but apparently there's a key feature that allows drivers to supercharge their vehicles in 15 minutes. So she said she didn't find out until she stopped at one of those stations and she couldn't charge it. It turns out that her supercharger feature had been deactivated. And that's because when she went in, when they had to replace her battery, it was mistakenly listed as being salvaged. So they said her car was in totaled and there was like this. So they removed that feature as a safety precaution. That's insane. Like how, and it took, like, she had to go to a local news station to raise awareness for it. This is crazy. So France is actually banning the Apple's iPhone 12 over radiation. They've been reviewing all of these reports about these handsets. Now, apparently, the United States is considering it. They said that there are radiation concerns about it emitting harmful levels after they halted sales temporarily due to this. Now, the FDA says that they're reviewing the available information here after the regulators in France, they'd asked Apple to stop selling theirs. So apparently this has been going on since 2020 when these concerns were first brought to light. Very interesting. A beloved Oakland restaurant is forced to shut its doors. The owner blames rampant crime, which is everywhere all across California. This restaurant, La Chevelle, a Vietnamese restaurant, has been open for 38 years. They said they have to close because crime is so bad in the area they can no longer stay open and it's no longer safe for their patrons as well. That's incredibly sad. I mean, they said that there's crime, there's drug use, auto burglaries, they said are like one of the biggest things. Customers don't want to park their cars and then go in because they don't want their cars broken into. So it's going to permanently shut its doors on September 30th. That's La Chevelle, it's a Vietnamese restaurant with French influence, like 40 years. It's like great storefront too. We have a lot more on the way. They're looking to cancel Russell Brand. We got some Law and Order, all kinds of stuff. Stick with us.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all, live or on demand. The Dana Show.
I think he will be the nominee. And the thing is, President Trump is stronger today than he was in 2016 or 2020. And there's a reason why. They saw the policies of what he was able to do with America, putting America first, making our economy stronger. We didn't have inflation. We didn't have these battles around the world. We didn't look weaker. A shutdown would only give strength to the Democrats. It would give the power to Biden. It wouldn't pay our troops. It wouldn't pay our border.
So let's zoom up to that point because this is too long. So that's welcome back to the show, Dana Lash here. That's Kevin McCarthy, who is he's in trouble. And I wrote about this in the newsletter last night. He's in trouble here because he comes out and he's slamming those in Congress who are pushing for a shutdown. And he mentions DeSantis briefly because there are a lot of reps in the House right now that are talking about this. In fact, there's a huge fight over a continuing resolution, which we're going to discuss. And if we have that, we'll play it. If not, we'll go. If we don't have just that part queued up. Okay, all right, let's just go. So he says that, you know, it's wrong to support those people in Congress who want a shutdown. Because those are the people that are wanting to shut down Congress as opposed to fund the trans surgeries, the abortion. I mean, the same stuff over and over again. Sending money constantly to Ukraine. I mean, they don't want any of that. So there are a number of lawmakers that are and they're fighting over this right now, as they said. They're like, okay, well, fine, shut it down and we'll have this fight. Because Democrats constantly are like, well, I guess we'll have to shut government down if we don't get the entitlement spending that we want. Okay, don't threaten me with a good time. But in his soundbite, and I'll put that up, I'll find it and I'll put it up in a separate piece and I'll have the transcript up for you in Substack. But in the video that I sent to you last night, his quote, it doesn't make any sense. Why are you? You're the House Speaker, or you're running the power of the purse. You should be on the side of fiscal responsibility. You shouldn't be playing into this idea that, well, unless we give Democrats what they want, I mean, we don't really have an alternative. That's ultimately what he's saying here. I don't know why he's like moving to this position of fear. It doesn't make any sense. And then one of the reasons he mentioned DeSantis briefly, and I think we may have this. He mentioned DeSantis very briefly because the Florida governor, he was talking about, and this looks like I'm going to forego this because it looks like it might be too long. DeSantis, he was backing Tuberville's military appointment blockade. And it's not just a military appointment blockade either. I mean, we talked about Senator Tuberville and what he's really holding his position for. The NDAA is previously it was always very non-controversial. They've never had a problem with getting Republicans and Democrats on board for this authorization, the defense authorizations for spending. But it was only when Democrats decided that they were going to tack on everything from, abortion on demand, recreational abortion on demand, taxpayer funded, and then the surgeries for trans soldiers who want to identify as a different gender so that they can have these taxpayer funded surgeries. Notice how the media always omits that aspect of it. They focus on the abortion stuff, but they don't actually mention the trans part of it, which was included into this. And that's why Tuberville was like, I'm not moving on this. So all the people that are mad at Tuberville, y'all need to be slowing your damn roll. You get mad at the people who decided to, for the first time ever, really politicize something that has never had an issue ever going up for reauthorization until Democrats decided to play games with it. So kudos to Tuberville for holding the ground here. He's holding the line. It'd be great if some of these other Republicans matched the spine that he had. It would be nice. And that's the thing that DeSantis mentioned. This is what he said. Yeah, just real quick.
Yes, I support what he's doing. First of all, what the Defense Department is doing is outside the law. They are violating the law by funding abortion tourism with tax dollars. And so when agencies do that, the Congress has to stand up and push back against it. I also look and see, we have a limited amount of money in a defense budget. We're running low on ammunition. Our recruiting is in the absolute gutter now. And you're funding abortion tourism? Is that really something that is helping to protect this country?
That's the answer. That's what every Republican should be saying whenever they try to bash. Oh, well, you're holding this up or you're not agreeing with us on this. That's what every Republican should be saying. And they're not. It is so mind-numbingly infuriating. No, instead, they're talking about the ways that maybe they can compromise. You can't make this up. Couldn't if you tried. They're talking about ways maybe they can sort of, how can we compromise? Maybe we can kind of figure this out. I don't know. Because we have 13 days. They're going to shut down in 13 days if they can't come out with any kind of like a funding. Unless they greenlight more funding. So there are some Republicans that are pushing a stopgap spending bill. That is, it's not going to go anywhere at all whatsoever in the Senate. And I don't even know if McCarthy has the ability to shepherd that to pass in the House at all. So you had the House Freedom Caucus and the Republican Main Street Caucus. They were negotiating over this 30-day stopgap. And they want what they're trying to get that pushed through so that they can get some of these funding bills through. And then Republicans are going to be able to say, oh, well, we tried to avoid, a shutdown. That's ultimately, I think, again, the problem is attaching all of that other stuff onto it. This would not be an issue. So the CR, this is the CR that they're pushing. They would cut spending except for DHS, veterans, and some defense. And they would have, it includes new prohibitions on any kind of claims of asylum and some restrictions as it relates to immigration. Now, the aid that Biden wants isn't in there. Remember the disaster aid? Now, this is one of the things that Democrats are going to focus on. Do you remember the disaster aid that they were talking about? Well, we'll make sure that Florida gets this or that Hawaii gets this, but we have to tag Ukraine spending onto it. It's very important that Ukraine gets their money. So Republicans are saying no to that. Democrats aren't moving. So if it's not included in there, it's going to be because Democrats did not want to decouple it from sending more billions to Ukraine. And Democrats are going to say that Republicans omitted, without telling you that Ukraine spending was included, that Republicans omitted disaster spending because they want Maui or Florida, hurricane victims to suffer. That's the game that they're going to play. How stupid. I mean, it's all so stupid. So apparently the Rules Committee has the CR. They're marking it up today. They're supposed to move to vote on a defense bill on Wednesday, and they're looking to have the CR done and vote on that towards the end of the week. Now, I don't know, if they're Byron Donalds is one of the negotiators. Representative Chip Roy is involved in it, which I'm sure he's arguing with everybody, which he should. So we'll see. I don't know. Regardless of what happens, there is no way in the world that the Senate is going to sign on to anything, even if Republicans pass something that's super weak and watered down that we all hate, there's still no way in hell that the Senate's going to pass it. There's no, because the Senate's so partisan and there's just not enough Republicans in there. Just not enough. That's the way it is. So government's going to shut down and let it shut down. We cannot have all of these scaredy cats doing this. Now, I understand the danger that McCarthy recognizes. He's looking at it like, okay, I'm going to get hit for doing nothing to avert a shutdown. And if I get hit for doing nothing to avert a shutdown, then that could extend over to the Republican Party being blamed. Now, that's a real thing. I get it. Which is why I'm glad that there are some Republicans that you have to have some of the bad. You have to have good cop, bad cop. And you have to have Republicans willing to play that. But at the same time, I also just kind of like, I wish we didn't have to do all of the smoke and mirror stuff. I wish we could just have people go out and say, you know what, we're pretty united in rejecting all this garbage. When Democrats actually want to fund the stuff that benefits Americans and they don't want to send billions of taxpayer dollars to Ukraine, or they don't want to sit here and fund abortion on demand for recreationally tourism and unnecessary, medically unnecessary taxpayer funded surgeries on gender, then that's fine. We'll sit down and we'll have that discussion and we'll be excited to work with them and pass something. But until they come to their senses and they don't fritter away tax dollars, during this, whole thing of Biden inflation, then we're not going to play ball. I really wish that they would also just say it like that. It's tricky, though, because everything's stupid. It is. We make great pets. We really do. I need to actually make sure I include that in this month's bumper music because I really feel like that's like the song of the times. It really is. And and that's the thing. And Kane, just make your point because you make the most obvious point.
They just need to understand this is what Democrats do. They put frivolous spending in these bills and then demonize the Republicans when they don't support it. And they act like the main thing of the bill is what the Republicans are against. Right. And it's not. It's that other additional pork that they love to put in there.
Yes. Other pork that they want in. Absolutely. I mean, it's if you would see some of the requests that they make, and this is par for the course. This is how you all know. This is how it's always been. But I mean, we'll see. And then the Senate, they have their own thing. They have their $280 billion package that they're fighting over. And then you have the whole thing with the military, the nominations and all of that. So I think that they just need to hold the line. They need to hold the line. They really do. So we're gonna follow all of that and bring you some of the latest on that. Now, a couple of other things that I want to make sure that we touch on as well. This soap. Why are we talking about soap? Oh, We have the BLM activist and who decided she got a thing with Dove, Zianna Bryant. She backed previously defunding the police. And she tried to ruin this chick's life. She's a racist bigot. And she tried to ruin this chick's life previously just because, you know, because she's a bigot. Dove hired her to promote fat liberation. Like, you're a soap. I'm trying to figure out what is it to promote a bigger cane? Can I say this? I don't think I can. Let me just hang on. Wait, are they promoting a bigger bar of soap? I don't know. Is that what it is?
It could be.
I mean, you know, if there's more acreage. Yeah, if you got more real estate, I don't know. It's a weird campaign. So a lot of people are like, boycott Dove. And I think the reason that people are super mad at her is because she went after, like, she's like, you know, in addition to just being against police, like, she's gone after other people just and tried to ruin their lives if she simply dislikes them, right? Like, she went after, she got the whole mob worked up against this one chick. And she accused a white student, a fellow student at the University of Virginia. She accused her of saying that BLM protesters would be good speed bumps. She accused this chick of saying this. And then only later, the girl's name was Morgan Bettinger. And then only later did Bryant say, oh, well, maybe I misheard them. But that was after Bettinger's life was already ruined. Like, they went after her. People were threatening to kill her. She had, like, all of these threats of violence. And they wanted to run her out on a rail. And, I mean, they ruined her life. They ruined her life. She was falsely accused of saying something. And they ruined her life. And so then Dove hires her. And then now when Daily Mail reached out to this, again, BLM activist who's a racist and a bigot who called for defunding the police, when Daily Mail reached out to Bryant lost her mind, began crying, freaked out, and called the police because a reporter called to ask her for comment on a story. Oh, my gosh. I mean, no, I ain't going to be using no Dove. I don't use Dove anyway, but I don't ever have plans to. Screw Dove. That's ridiculous. Screw your pea soap. So, now this is why aliens don't visit, though, really. We got more to come. We got Florida Man on the way, too. You don't want to miss.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Oh, boy. All right. So first up, in Florida, someone crashed their SUV into another Florida man's pool. Mm-hmm. A South Florida homeowner was very surprised Friday night because someone drove their SUV through his fence and plunged it into their swimming pool, replete with video. The thing is that it was almost like tailgate up, and then they had to pull it out. Can you imagine? Oh, my gosh. Thankfully, there was, like, no fatalities, but I mean, that guy's property is, you know, that's a bummer. Let's see. Also, a Florida man was accused of pouring bleach into his coworker's drinks because he said that they were difficult to work with. Now, I think everybody has had, you know, like, an issue with not getting along with your, you know, fellow employees or something like that. I think everybody's worked a job somewhere. But this was at the Dollar General. Like, how hard can it get? You know, you're at the Dollar General, and this dude, Jerome Ellis, he's a DeLand Dollar General employee. He was arrested on charges of poisoning food or water and then tampering with evidence after video surveillance showed him literally pouring bleach into a coworker's can of Pepsi. He and the victim got into an argument the day before. The victim told police that he thought that Ellis was holding a grudge against him. And so the man told deputies that he placed a Pepsi he was drinking on the counter, went to the restroom, came back, and he said it tasted like bleach or cleaning supplies. And they found that video of Ellis, you know, pouring the bleach in. But it also showed him trying to unplug the camera system. So when he was confronted about the video footage, he said, oh, I was cleaning it. And then he said he admitted finally he put cleaning solution just around the brim to get back at him for being difficult to work with. Yeah, that's not how that works, dude. So he was booked in a Volusia County jail. Can you imagine? Like, what's so stressful at the Dollar General that you got to do that? Like, how bad was that dude to work with? It sounds like you're probably pretty bad to, you know. A Florida man accused of murder in a squatter's den was captured. Gosh, this headline keeps on giving. A Florida man accused of murder in a squatter's den captured after cops bust him with cocaine cookies.
What?
Yeah. So they responded to an empty home, Miami police, and they found a fatal shooting victim. They said that there was a squatter in this empty house. People were calling the police. They investigated. And at 45-year-old Larry March, he was fidgeting. They found cocaine cookies, which the article sadly never explains what those are. I immediately thought of, like, Cookie Monster. By the way, he was booked, and he's facing all kinds of charges. But it's literally like you cook it into a cookie form, the cocaine cookie. Like, it's like that's what it is. You cook it into a cookie. At the and that's the shape at the bottom of the beaker, and you make it in a Pyrex beaker. I actually looked this up because I'd never heard of that. I mean, the things, it's like chemistry, right? All right, stick with us. Third hour on the way.
It's not okay that our biggest grocery stores are making record profits while Canadians are struggling to put food on the table. So Minister Champagne will be calling on the heads of large grocers to come to Ottawa with a plan to address the rising cost of food. And we expect to hear from them by Thanksgiving on what their plan is to stabilize prices. And and let me be very clear. If their plan doesn't provide real relief for the middle class and people working hard to join it, then we will take further action, and we are not ruling anything out, including tax measures.
Wow. Castro Jr. here is really looking for a populist policy that can save his sagging popularity in the polls. That's America's hat up there, Canada, Justin Trudeau. Welcome to the show. Dana Lash here with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. You can watch the simulcast on YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV. He's basically saying that the government can impose a tax and then redistribute the money, and that you know, that Canadian families, that's not going to help anybody. He's talking about these rebates and everything else. But so essentially, if retailers don't work to lower prices, they're going to get taxed more. So he's literally demanding that the grocery stores fix prices. And it's illegal, but it's not right now because the government is saying that you can be illegal right now. You can. The government is sanctioning the crime. I mean, that sounds like Venezuela. That, my gosh. I mean, in fact, it actually comes from there. They've tried to implement price controls and they haven't had any successes. Hungary tried price controls and that didn't, I mean, that worked for like a second enough that Orban got reelected, but it doesn't last. I mean, and there's a whole other load of problems that come along with it. I mean, that's asinine. That's not where those problems are fixed. Wow. But I don't think Lil Castro knows that, though. If he were to become like an artiste, he could be Lil Castro. You know.
Little baby Lil Castro.
Yeah, Lil Castro. Good heavens, I tell you. No, he's, that's, he's special. A few other things. So Illinois, as you know, I've got some law and order I want to touch on too. The cash bail. I don't know if you guys have seen this or not. The cash bail for Illinois is being removed. They're eliminating the cash bail system. You're from Illinois, Kane. That's going to go real well. It's going to lower all the crime, isn't it?
No, it's unfortunately going to increase crime. Guaranteed.
You think so? But it's supposed to
let criminals out? Is that what you're about to say? Because that's what it's doing.
Well, they said that the cash bail is implemented. It's supposed to implement it. They were trying to say, well, they're going to be the first. This is back in July. It was a court ruling. And they were fighting in the court system. So they've removed this as standard for pretrial procedures. Now, a judge can still detain somebody if they think that they're a danger, but money is not going to be the determining factor in someone's release. That's not going to be the determining factor there. So I don't know. That's, you know, when they tried this in New York, increased the crime rate by such an astronomical percentage. It was something like 40-something percent that they realized, oh my gosh, bail reform, which included this cashless bed, this is not working. We've got to stop. And they stopped because it was a disaster. I guess Illinois didn't pay attention to what was happening in New York. They didn't pay attention to what their Democrat brethren were doing. It's horrible. And then, did you guys see this story? This is also awful. I didn't want to watch this video because there were two 17-year-olds, two teenagers that were driving their vehicle and they were recording it. This was in Las Vegas. And they intentionally hit a cyclist with their car. They were laughing and going, ready? Yeah, hit him. One of them said, hit him on the A double snakes. And they ran their vehicle into 64-year-old retired police officer Andreas Probst, who was riding his bicycle on a bike path. He was hit from behind, rushed to the local hospital, and he was pronounced dead. The video, I did not want to watch the video. And that's, they said that the video evidence has just been released because this happened in the beginning of August. But it's just now making the round. It's just now coming up to light. No charges were filed against the passenger who was encouraging the driver to do it. I mean, they just run over and they executed this guy for a viral video. They executed the dude. This is because there's no penalty for anybody anymore, ever. There's never a penalty for anybody. Fatal hit and run. They were recording it. They thought it was funny. This was on West Centennial Parkway, near West Centennial Parkway in Las Vegas. And oh my gosh, it's horrific. I can't watch a video because I didn't want to watch a video of a guy losing his life. I mean, that's like the last moment that he's alive. And so one of them is charged, but the other's not. 17 years old. What restorative justice does is it creates the perception, not a perception, a reality of no accountability. And when younger wannabe criminals see that older criminals, there's really no accountability. There's no penalty. If you have to do a little time, that's like a slap on the wrist. And they don't really see a deterrence. They have no deterrence in their lives. Oh my gosh. I'd say that 17-year-old's life is over, but after, you know, reading the transcript of the video, it sounds like his life's already over. It sounds like he's in such a place of moral decay already at 17 that he's already dead inside. Honestly, it's what it sounds like. That's just heinous. And this just continues. Crime and all of these, just horrific. There's increased attacks on law enforcement too, whether retired or not. There's no concern for life, no concern for law and order. None of that. None of that anymore. Stores closing. You could say, you wouldn't have to wear tinfoil for this, but the restorative justice movement to destabilize law and order is going along very successfully, don't you think? Hey, imagine losing 2024 and getting more of that, but that just at the national level. Because you can already see what we have now. Already see what we have now. Now, the Senate, we only touched on this. I wanted to come back to this because Senator John Fetterman tweeted. So, you know, Chuck Schumer, Senate Majority Leader, has now ditched the dress code specifically for John Fetterman, specifically for him. They said that they're trying to, it's a way of appealing to the very casual. He's not casually dressed. He's in cargo shorts and a hoodie. Schumer said that senators can choose what they wear on the Senate floor. I'll wear a suit. And he looks disheveled, and it's so disrespectful. I mean, he gets paid $170,000 with perks. You can't, you know, you have to dress nice if you go to jury duty, but not to go to the Senate floor. Oh my gosh. So he tweeted, let me pull this up. He actually tweeted about this. Fetterman did. Like, I guess, like, as a way to try to own people, it was it's kind of goofy. He tweeted, I dress how you predict. Whatever that means. I dress like you predict is what he said. But what Kane and I were talking about, we both had the same thought. But you've never changed how you dress. You've always dressed in a hoodie and cargo shorts. He cosplays as like the regular man. That's this whole thing. He thinks that he's dressing like the regular average everyday guy. He thinks that the regular, because he grew up with a silver spoon, right? He lives in a loft that his sister bought for him. He never had to buy anything. He never had to pay a bill. His parents gave him an allowance until he was like, what? He was 50, right? Before he got, he's never really had a job outside of government. And he's just always forever, he's lazy. He's lazy and he doesn't want to work. So he lives off of everybody else, even before his stroke. So now we're like, you've never changed how you dress. So nobody needs to predict anything, Senator Crocs. You know Crocs is going to be the next, he's going to walk in with Crocs. I mean, at what point does it stop? Somebody made the joke. I can't remember who it was. So does that mean senators get to show up? The elderly senators can show up in their hospital gowns. It's true. But it's just a mockery of the entire system. He gets to forego any kind of dress code. You are meeting foreign dignitaries when you're in elected office. You're meeting you're taking meetings with foreign leaders who visit. You're meeting with other lawmakers. Like, what if you're called in to talk to the president of the United States? You know, you have to advocate for the people that you are elected to represent, and you don't think any better of the people that you represent than to show up literally in a pair of gym shorts and a hoodie, and it looks like they're dirty and wrinkled all the time. He dresses like a perpetual frat dude. He thinks this is his shtick, and he looks ridiculous. He reminds me of like all of these progressive, those dudes out there, right? Like the progressive dudes who, you know, they're these, you know, slovenly dudes and they think they're such hard asses. And that he just reminds me of one of those guys. Like that's how he has always existed in his own mind. That's how he has always existed in his, I don't want to say career because it's like his government, whatever. It's such a joke. I don't want to hear anybody in the left ever complain about any, like how Kristen Sinema dresses. She always dresses nice and appropriately. You know how they always, and it's the left. They always go after her for her dresses or if she's wearing a colorful jacket. At least she actually has enough respect, not just for the office, but the people that she represents to dress nicely, to dress professional. You dress for the job you want and you dress for the treatment that you expect. So that if that's any indication on how to treat Fetterman, I guess.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Wall Street Journal has this headline where they say that Neanderthal genes are linked to severe COVID risk. They say study in Italy's worst pandemic hotspot sheds light on why some people fell seriously ill and others didn't. They're in the town of Bergamo and they were talking about, like, I guess, different genetic makeups there.
So they're admitting that the virus targets genetics? That's weird.
Weird. Like, it's so weird that a virus would do that. Totally naturally occurring virus game. So weird. You know, just take the shot that stops all of that and also makes you a millionaire, apparently, as well. Oh. Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. It just does all kinds of magical things. So the city of Los Angeles is spending $44,000 for each individual tent in a temporary tent village for homeless people in East Hollywood. It's a tent. It's $4 million to put up fencing, bathrooms, and staffing facilities for the little homeless village. And they have catering services. It sounds like a damn movie lot. Catering services, 24/7 staffing. That's also $3 million a year. But they're like, well, it's temporary because we're gonna turn it into public housing. So it's permanent. They didn't say that permanent part, but that's what it means when you said, you know, you're going to say that it's going to take years for construction to commence on the project. So they're filling it with tents in the meantime. Yeah. It's a nonprofit, Urban Alchemy, that maintains the encampment. So that's another one in San Francisco. So, but it looks like glamping. That's glamping. They're glamping. That's not a homeless encampment. It's glamping. Let's be, you know. Let's see here. Also, the... I don't really care about that. The writer's strike is still ongoing, etc., etc. Let's see. Oh my gosh, listen to this. So tilapia, right? That's like a fish that everybody eats, right? A 40-year-old California woman lost all four limbs because she caught Vibrio from eating undercooked tilapia for dinner. She underwent life-saving amputation Thursday after a months-long stay fighting the infection. She purchased it at a local market in San Jose and made it for herself. You've got to learn how to cook fish. Really? So, Kane sits over there like, wait a minute. Whoa.
Yeah, I don't
like
think
some
tilapia.
Damn Yoda. Tilapia is a bad fish for you.
No, I've known that for years. Well, I used to eat tilapia back in the early aughts. And then I wasn't feeling well health-wise. My doctor told me, you probably want to change what you're eating. And then I looked up the tilapia stuff, and apparently it's not great
for you
to
eat. What do you mean the tilapia stuff?
Well, looked up information on the fish, tilapia, what it does to you physically if you eat it. And it's not... I haven't found anything that great.
Like, give me an example.
Well, right... You look at what you amputation. We just saw a story.
So that's but that's just from tilapia.
But yeah, it could cause like blood issues and, you know, digestive issues.
Why is it being served? Why do people eat it? Oh my gosh. Ugh. Stephen Yates is coming up next. Stick with us.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
It's important to remember, Kate, that the regime doesn't get the money. They can request a withdrawal for humanitarian goods, agricultural products, medical supplies, food. And then we will run a process through which those goods are contracted for. The Iranians don't even get to let the contracts. We'll make sure that the contracts are let with vendors that we know we can trust. And then that material will be delivered to the Iranian people. The Iranian regime does not get hands on this money.
I love how they're acting like that a portion of the sanctions against Iran, which was literally freezing these assets, that unfreezing the assets is in no way, in any way, going back on the sanctions for Iran. That's John Kirby, who's trying his very best to make sure that you believe him on this. No one believes him. So we have we talked about this. We had the sanctions basically being reduced here for Iran. Oh, and then we lost a jet. You know what? Let's ask our friend Stephen Yates. He spends a lot of time on the Eastern Seaboard at YatesComs on Twitter, senior fellow at America First Policy Institute, chair of the China Policy Initiative. He, on break, he was talking about some chatter, which I'm always intrigued whenever I hear that word. But the latest is that this missing, Stephen, always good to see you, this missing $80 million stealth fighter jet, this F-35, may have carried on flying in a, quote, zombie state. Oh, sorry, $100 million Lightning II stealth fighter. Was on autopilot when the pilot ejected over North Charleston. Have you seen any jets lately? Any F-35s?
Yeah. I've been looking out in the Florida skies, and so far, no overpriced fighter jets flying zombie-like around waiting for someone to get them. But, you know, we've kind of gotten used to things flying over the continental United States and being told, hey, no big deal. And we can spend a lot of money knocking them out of the sky eventually. This is a very expensive platform. This is a major problem when something like this gets away. And we ought to know the answer real fast, where it went and who's got it. I don't know. I'm pretty sure Kirby doesn't know.
That's a great question. And weren't there other jets? I mean, there were two jets. There was another jet that was with it. They were described as flying side by side, 2 p.m. Sunday over North Charleston. So the other jet we've all seen Top Gun. We know they talk, right? We know that they can. How does this happen? Like, the other guy doesn't know what happened?
Well, there's usually video, too. I mean, if this is a training exercise, there's all kinds of things going on. We have the magic of satellites, and we have other planes and other things going on. I mean, there's just a whole lot about this that just doesn't square. I mean, it's terrible that you have the loss of something that is so expensive and really important to our defense. I hope the pilot is okay. They say we ejected, and that it's a blessing if the member of our service is safe. But exactly how does something like this fly in a zombie-like state, and to where? I mean, that sounds like a really scary, weird thing. Does it go halfway around the world? Does it go down to the middle of the ocean? What's going on here?
I mean, I know with like a lot of newer cars, they make it impossible for you to lock your keys in your car. So I'm just wondering how one ejects from the jet and it's in autopilot. I would just think that that activity would override any kind of autopilot function. You'd mentioned, we're talking with our good friend Stephen Yates at YatesComms on Twitter. You mentioned, Stephen, there's some chatter about what possibly could have happened, because Kane and I immediately, this is just our default response, China? I mean, that's immediately what we thought. What is your take on this?
Well, number one, there's always going to be chatter.
Anyway,
and the chatter is super fun. And there's, I mean, immediately there was a lot of speculation that somehow China would be involved, or that this has fallen into the Chinese hands. And at least for my money, I would like to know. I do think that there is one person on this planet who probably could solve this problem of a zombie plane. And it's the guy who engineered rockets to be able to come back to Earth and land safely on their own. And so if you're looking at what SpaceX does with launch vehicles and missiles, you'd think that with our multi-billion, if not trillion-dollar defense industrial complex, throwing some hardware out into the world, that they would have a way that someone would make it so that it could fly itself back. Call it fighter pilot full self-driving, to be able to come back and park itself. So if we can't do that, and this kind of foobar is happening, then I really don't want to watch anymore.
Yeah, I got to tell you, when I watch the rockets, the SpaceX rockets land by themselves, it's real creepy. It is really creepy to watch it. I know that's weird. It's in machinery, but it's really weird to watch it just the way that it does it. I can only imagine the zombie jet. I mean theoretically, I mean. They could have, I guess they could have hacked it, and maybe they could, I mean, we're not going to know until they all of a sudden come out with their own F-35s, right? I mean, that's usually how it would work.
Yeah, I mean, for all of the foibles that we have in government, I would put it extremely low probability the Chinese hacking and taking over a live flying fighter jet like this.
Don't get your hopes up. We're getting our hopes up about how good they are, is what you're telling me. You're like, Dana, they are like vaudeville villains, but they're not that good.
Yeah, this just might be a too high a hurdle for them to clear just yet. And I remember one bit of advice I got going into the White House many, many, many years ago, is that your first assumption ought to be incompetence, not conspiracy. And in government, that turns out to be true an awful lot of the time. Although in recent years, conspiracy is catching up.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of that, this just plays right into it. This from the Hill. The Air Force Secretary, interesting how it's the Air Force Secretary, Frank Kendall, says, China is preparing for a war with the United States. That's kind of they're always sort of preparing for a war with everyone. But I guess what's new about this is that there's like new buildup. There's some new movement underway. You and I have kind of talked a little bit about this before. It is a little unusual to see the Secretary of the Air Force, I guess, come out and make so strong a statement. But your thoughts on this? I mean, how much is new? How much has changed from, you know, it seems like they're always in a state of perpetual preparing for war.
Right. And that's truth and reality of the situation. I guess to a degree, I have to ask, what is the reason for making this declarative statement now? It's been true for a very long time, and preparing for war and being prepared to go to war are different from actually doing things that indicate war is imminent. And in any of those scenarios, the leader that offers this august warning ought to be also saying, and here's what we need to be doing now to head this off at the pass, or how we're going to need to be able to respond very quickly, what we need to be doing to change the mix of capabilities, maybe tone down some of the political training in our military and dial up some of the tactical fighter training in our military. But give us some options. And if he doesn't have options, he sits on the top of an enormous pyramid with lots of worker bees whose only job it is to give options. So how about we get to work on that, about what we're going to do in the face of this reality? Because declaring it, while it's true, and I give him some credit for speaking the truth in an era full of nonsense and from the White House, a little bit of non-truth, at least this guy's telling us the straight story. But what are we going to do about it? That's the big, big problem.
Yeah, that is a big problem. Last question for you on this, our friend Stephen Yates. The headline, China appears to have suspended spy balloon program after the February shootdown, according to U.S. intel. The story is that we haven't observed any new launches since the last occurred. I just think they probably went to maybe something else besides balloon.
Yeah, I think they're turning to falconry or carrier pigeons or something else now. Maybe it's going to be balloons and state fairs that they're going to turn to their own purposes, since they've embedded their agents all across America now with their United Front operations. I mean, this whole balloon story really was a farce in some ways because of how stupid it made us look, how inept it made us look. And that damage is done no matter what happened with transmission or non-transmission. They saw how we reacted. They saw our leaders lie about it. They saw our leaders spend millions of dollars to shoot it down. And so they got a lot out of this, even if it was just sort of the old elementary school game of putting a balloon up into the sky with a card that'll come down somewhere. They got a lot out of this, and it wasn't good for us. The unending story about, oh, it wasn't switched on. And, you know, so you spent a Sidewinder missile, you go to deep sea, you pull it up, you want to say, oh, it wasn't turned on. I don't know. I just wonder whether we're really getting the straight up story on this one.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I don't bet on it. That's for sure. You can find our friend Stephen Yates at YatesComs on Twitter and the America First Policy Institute at A1 Policy as well. Stephen, always so good to see you. Thanks so much for joining us on this. Just let us know if you see any F-35s.
Keep an eye out.
Yeah, well, thanks so much.
Thanks, Dana. Take care.
You too. Yeah, zombie plane, zombie jet. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that thing landing just like SpaceX would, like their rockets do? It is weird. Like, I mean, when the rocket comes down and it just like Tetrises into its little holder, and then the jets would, I mean, that's what it'll be. Everything will be just giant drones. You'll just have giant drones with everything at this point.
Catch the Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV channel 347.
Keith Olbermann said
you love him though.
Because you're not vaxxed, that's why it happened.
Yep.
Yeah, get your fifth booster, Keith.
Anyway,
I love that.
That's Aaron Rodgers on Keith Olbermann. Keith Olbermann blamed his Achilles injury, if you remember. Well, he said, what did he say? It was because he was unvaxxed.
Right.
That's why he tore his Achilles tendon, because he was unvaxxed. I don't know if Keith Olbermann wrote that from his bathtub or not. You know how he reminds me of like a sentient Pizza the Hut from, or like a Pizza the Hut with hair from Spaceballs. Right. He just, I don't know. He just, his face looks, I don't know. I'm being mean. I shouldn't be mean. I just don't like him. I can't stand that dude. I have no idea how how does he work in commentary? I have no idea. And I don't even think he's that great of a sports commentator either. I don't know. Aaron Rodgers is going to go cry to all his millions. Meanwhile, what's Keith Olbermann going to do? Bitch on Twitter. Go Keith. Go Keefs. Keefs Obermans. Shush up. Yeah, go get your fifth booster there. Oh, yeah. I thought that was a cheap shot, but you know, cheap shots all cheap commentators have. I just want to make fun of him. That's all I'm going to do. Just continue making fun of him. One quick thing. If you follow me on Instagram at all, I'd love your prayers for our pup Rocco. He went in for surgery today. This dog, I think, has had more surgery than any other animal I know of. But he has to have surgery on his eye. It's a thing that's with Frenchies because they're a weird breed. And he ended up having this hole in his eye, and he's going to lose his eyesight if he doesn't have surgery. I mean, bottom line. And they're going to see how well he's doing under anesthesia. Whenever you have, they call them the brachycephalic dogs, the short snouts. They don't do very well under anesthesia. He's been under before because he's had surgery before with his back. He has invertebral disc disease. His stock is everything. He's got a stanky leg. He's got a bad back. He's got like his eyes popping out of his head. I mean, my gosh. And if he's doing well, they're gonna do work on the other eye. But if not, it's just gonna be the one eye. And I'm just, you know, praying that it goes okay and that he wakes up without any difficulty and that we get him back because he's such a smart pup. And yes, he has to have a lot of issues. I mean, it's not like having a dog with him. He is dependent. I mean, he's a disabled pup. So it's like we have almost like a toddler who just started walking. It's like, that's what it's like. He can't be left, you know, we got to take him with us or he's got to have a babysitter. I mean, but he's so smart. I swear he understands more than just 35 words that dogs are supposed to understand. And I think that he does try to communicate with you like a person. He just has so much sass and he's got a lot of attitude and he likes what he likes and he doesn't like what he doesn't like. And that's it. So I just, you know, some prayers and good vibes for Rocco needed because he's, I like Frenchies. Would I ever recommend that you get a Frenchie? It depends. I mean, some people are lucky and some aren't, and we were not lucky twice. So I probably will never, ever have another Frenchie again after Rocco, just because it's a lot, y'all. It is a lot. And after Louie was so hard losing Louie. And then now with Rocco, they always say, I think I'm more bizarrely attached to my dogs because they always say in politics, if you want a friend, get a dog. So I literally did. And I like my dogs more than I like most everyone I've ever met in Washington, D.C. I'm not even exaggerating. So I'm a little bit more attached to mine, I think, than, you know, your normal pet owner. But prayers for Rocco. That's we would love those if you could. Also, sign up for Substack, the newsletter, Chapter and Verse. Two good pieces came out just in the past 24 hours. And, you know, the subscribers, they get the prep every morning. So you know what's coming up. You know what to expect. And a lot of last minute stuff comes out there as well. So that's over at Substack. Never sell your information for the love. It's me that sees it. So don't worry about it. Sign up at Substack, Chapter and Verse, and also find us on YouTube and Facebook. Like and subscribe. I was going to steal Kane's Today and Stupidity from him just because the gaslighting is real, but you go ahead and have this one. There's your gift.
I was gonna go to Blinken, but we can do Janet Yellen.
Oh, you were gonna go to Blinken. I thought. Well, you told me. I was gonna come in with. And you're like, well, I'm thinking about her for today's stupidity. Thinking about it. So I didn't want to steal it from you.
But I thought that because Secretary Yellen just lies about the economy all the time. I think that's pretty astounding.
Don't believe your wallet.
But that F-35 that's missing. Imagine if we also gave that to Iran when we lifted that $6 billion for them. But here's Secretary Blinken.
Why did we not speculate on that?
Here's Secretary Blinken speculating himself.
Access those funds where they were. So the funds were moved to another bank where we have.
What if they're going to be used for bad?
Oversight of how they're used, and they can only be used for humanitarian purposes. And we have absolute confidence in the process of the system.
You have absolute confidence Iran's just going to use it for humanitarian purposes?
Yes. Oh, you know, like they told you they weren't enriching uranium. Yeah, go ahead and believe them. Folks, that does it for us today. Have a great rest of your afternoon, and I'll be back behind the mic with you tomorrow.